Well, it's an interesting discussion that we've got in the interview of the day, the big interview of the day with Dr. Corne Mulder of the Freedom Front Plus. The Mulder name has been synonymous with South African politics, Corne, for generations. Your father, Connie Mulder, was a big player in the old National Party government. Your brother, who was the leader of the Freedom Front Plus, and both, am I correct in saying both you and your brother have been members of parliament since 1994?
We've been members of parliament, good morning, Alex, since 1988. Both of us were elected in two by-elections in 1988. So we both served about 6 years prior to 1994, and then I've served since 1994 until today. It's almost 35 years now.
And your brother's resignation in 2016, that a surprise to you?
To a certain extent, although he's 7 years older than I am. So he decided that he had enough, basically, and he decided to make him to resign or to retire, basically. But he's not out of politics, actually. At the moment, he's writing some books and he's still a political commentator and he's still involved in politics, but not actively in party politics at this stage.
Your father, there's part of the population who really don't like Corne Mulder. Other parts of the population, I guess he's a hero. How is he viewed generally with a Freedom Front Plus today?
No, I think he played, as you correctly pointed out, he played a huge role. Just to give some perspective, he was elected to Parliament in 1958 in April. And I was born in that same year. So from my birth, after a few months, I've been traveling between Cape Town and Gauteng, or then Transvaal, in that instance. So my father was playing quite an important role in the South African politics at this stage. And people may not remember, perhaps, but in 1978, it was on my 20th birthday, by coincidence on that day, there was an election for prime minister in South Africa. And he stood against P.W. Botha for the position of prime minister. My father lost the race with 6 votes. And then shortly after that, he was forced out of the National Party, basically. And I'm just speculating. I think things could have been different in South Africa if he was elected on that day. People don't really understand and know him that well. He was much more realistic and a pragmatist in that sense. And if you look at the South African development, that after that, we went into the securocrats. And most of the human rights violations happened in that militarized period after 1978 into the 80s.
It's an extraordinary story when you start going back into history, and we know where we are today because of where we came from. But your own background, it's interesting. You are a doctor. You have studied, I was intrigued to see, at the Max Planck Institute in Germany. So presumably you sprechen Deutsch.
Yes, I was fortunate. It was very important for my kind of what I wanted to achieve in my career that I did complete my academic qualifications as soon as possible. So I was fortunate to study full-time from my first year until I completed my doctorate. I basically studied also at the University of Potchefstroom at the time. And so at the age of 26, I completed my doctorate in constitutional law. I was brought up in a political home. At home, we didn't speak about the weather or rugby. We spoke politics morning, noon, and night. That was a political home, as you correctly pointed out. And the family history goes even beyond my father. His father was a member of the provincial council, and his grandfather was a member of the Volksraad of Paul Kruger. So there's a long family tradition in the family. So it was important to get my academic qualifications sorted out. And then I was elected to parliament when I was 29 in 1988. So it's been a long process, and the academic thing is, I was very fortunate. Politics has been my hobby throughout my life, so I could make my hobby my career. But my father taught us basically that you can't say you want to go into politics. Politics will find you or not. What you need to do is to qualify yourself and get the different professional careers. I was admitted as an attorney. I started to practice as an attorney. And then in 1988, my father died in January. He had suffered from cancer, and then I was elected in a by-election in his stead, and then I've been in Parliament, as I've said, 35 years coming March next year.
Over the period since 1994, the role of the Freedom Front, well, it was first the Freedom Front, then the Freedom Front Plus when you brought other parties together as well, your role in Parliament, how has that changed? From the outside, one presumes it's changed a great deal, but you tell us.
Absolutely. You remember when we went to Parliament in 1994, the leader was General Viljoen, and it was a fascinating period because we had to marry two cultures. We had to marry a political culture with a military culture. The general was the general, and we were young politicians, but we succeeded in marrying that culture. And at that stage, the Freedom Front Plus was then the Freedom Front, and we obviously went to Parliament as seen as an Afrikaner party, very much so, trying to create a vehicle for the expression of Afrikaner ideals at that stage. But the one thing that is absolutely basic in politics is that everything changes. So things did change, and as time progressed, we then went into the negotiation process for the current constitution. And the party repositioned itself at some stage by also changing our mission statement to say that we see South Africa is a nation of nations and that we want to become the champion for the rights of minorities in South Africa. And there are various minorities. It's not that simple that it's only the majority versus a small minority. Within that alleged majority, there are also minorities. So, and if you look internationally, this field of minority politics is a very lively one. Sometimes people would say, well, what does democracy mean? It means one person, one vote. No, it does not. The test for true democracy is what steps do you take to protect the minorities in your country and your society? So that is a very lively topic. So the party started to expand its membership and its representation. And as you will know, we've moved into the so-called colored community. I've got some councillors for the, from that community. I've got provincial members for the provincial parliament here in the Western Cape. And you would have noticed that we've now also, I've got our first councillor from the African community, the Black African community. So the party is expanding in that this direction, and we've played a very constructive role throughout. Our opponents would say, you know where you stand with us, and we are proud of that because we want to talk straight and that people know what they can expect. And the party's been growing since.
It's also embraced Cape independence. Now, this is an interesting point because we've been following the Cape independence story for the past couple of years, and it does seem to be gathering momentum. Yet the ruling party in the Western Cape, which is the arena, is against Cape independence. Would this be part of the reasons? But would this be part of the reason why in very recent times, and we're going to get to that in a moment, the by-election results, that you're starting to see the Freedom Front Plus expanding?
It's definitely one of the reasons. It's not the only reason. I think it's a very important reason, specifically in the Western Cape. In the Western Cape has been different from the rest of South Africa throughout for various reasons, in terms of the demographics, in terms of the composition, in terms of many things. And one must also understand that the ANC has never won a popular election in the Western Cape. So the people in the Western Cape have expressed themselves throughout since 94 to not be governed by the ANC. And against their will, we've been under an ANC government in the Western Cape. I'm also the provincial leader for the party in the Western Cape. So that specific issue of Cape independence is playing a very strong role. And I can predict that in the 18 months to come to the 2024 election, is going to increase in terms of importance. And if the Democratic Alliance in the Western Cape doesn't want to support that kind of thing, and they don't, then, well, we will see what the electorate thinks about that. And it's completely in line with the party's approach of self-determination, that people should have a right to take their own decisions, that we do not want to have centralized power. Why should the Thule House or the union buildings decide what we teach the children in Cape Town? We want to take those decisions ourselves.
Now, that is something that the old National Party did at least preach, didn't implement it terribly well, but it certainly did. That was its policy. Why would the policy now actually succeed in allowing people to determine for self-determination? What's the difference? What's happened maybe in the world which would make this a possibility?
Well, I think if you look internationally, the whole concept of self-determination, and sometimes people tend to try to identify that as some called of right-wing kind of thing. It's not the case. It's very much the centralized kind of approach throughout the world. Somebody must go and tell me that the Scottish National Party, which is quite socialist, is a right-wing kind of thing. It's not true. Or even look at the Basque country or the there are all these different organizations that try to further self-determination. The real issue is that decisions are better taken at the lowest level possible. Empower people to take their own decisions. I think the National Party's approach was a wrong approach, and it's not the same in that instance. The National Party wanted to have the whole country divided. We're not saying that. That's not what we are saying. We are saying that we think, why should provinces in South Africa be all dealt with and handled with the same amount of powers? If the Western Cape is capable of exercising more power in terms of education or policing, whatever the case may be, let's give that opportunity and allow that to happen. And it all depends. If the Western Cape is whether the Western Cape is going for independence in the end will depend on the success of the rest of South Africa. If we succeed in having regime change in 1924 and we can get rid of the ANC, then maybe the need for the independence will diminish in the Western Cape. But if we continue in the way that we are going at the moment, it will get stronger and nobody will prevent that. You can delay it, but you won't stop it. It will happen.
When one has a look at the most recent by-elections, and it is something that at BizNews we pay a lot of attention to because it's the most factually based area of understanding the temperature of the electorate. The Freedom Front Plus has done very well, but when I talk to some analysts, they say, "Well, it's actually a free option for voters because on the one hand, they do know that the Freedom Front Plus will be supporting the DA." Who they probably voted for previously. And secondly, who knows, particularly in the Cape, if the Freedom Front Plus gets even stronger, they might be able to push through Cape independence. How do you react to that kind of a comment?
It's an interesting, interpretation. The fact of the matter is the following, and the reason is this. If you look at our electoral system, and our electoral system is strictly proportional representation. Now, any proportional representation system basically calls for coalition governments. It's abnormal in a proportional system that one party attains more than 50%. So we've had that since 1994, and it's abnormal. Now, eventually, we are getting to the point where the ANC is going below 50%. And this will make for coalition governments, and we understand that. So for quite a long time, the Democratic Alliance basically had the message to say, you must vote for the DA. Why? Because they are the only party that is big enough and strong enough to defeat the ANC. The electorate is not stupid. They realize that's not true and it's not going to happen, that no single party is going to defeat the ANC at the polls. What's going to happen is going to be a coalition of political parties. So now people are starting to say, well, I can vote for the party of my choice, not necessarily the party that I think is the biggest. I can vote for the party that I really feel comfortable with in terms of policy, image, leadership, etc. And then I know that they will take my votes into a coalition government to keep the ANC out of power. And I think that plays a part in terms of what's happening at the moment. And it was interesting, as you point out, the latest by-elections indicate that it's not only a once-off. We've seen it now in Limpopo. We are seeing it in the Western Cape. And who knows what's going to happen tomorrow in Gauteng.
Bella Bella, take us through that election. It was a splendid victory for you in a by-election. What happened there?
Well, absolutely. Bella Bella was a very safe Democratic Alliance seat. Bella Bella is in Limpopo. And so many former National Party supporters, even many former Conservative Party supporters, in mass went to the Democratic Alliance in the last couple of elections. Why? Because they would argue they think the DA has got the best chance to beat the ANC. But it's now become clear that no party, not even the DA, is going to do that on their own. So people start to move. So Bella Bella was a very safe DA seat. In the last election 12 months ago in 2021, the DA attained 66% of the vote and we only 27%. So it's a safe DA seat. But 2 weeks ago, it completely changed around. The DA fell from 66 to 26, and we grew from 27 to 58, and we took the ward, which is unheard of. That was not in terms of normal predictions, a shift of certain percentage points from this party to the next. This is a complete reversal of people's approach in terms of that constituency. So in mass, that happened. So the first thing was when that happened, people said, well, maybe there's an exception, maybe there's some personal circumstances between the candidates, etc. Let's see if it plays out further. And then exactly a week later, we had a by-election in Drakenstein. Now, Drakenstein is part of PAL in the Western Cape. It's the heartland of the Western Cape, and it's DA country, if I may put it that way. And it's almost the exact situation that happened in Drakenstein. If I can give you the figures there, for example, it was even a more safe Democratic Alliance seat. In Drakenstein, there's no coalition. It's a straightforward DA government. And in that specific ward, the DA had 81% of the vote going into the election, and we had 13. We came out of that election last Wednesday, and the DA fell from 81 to 49. And we grew from 13% to 41%. It was a difference of 136 votes, and we would have taken that ward. So that is also a very strong reversal of support. As a matter of fact, there are two voting districts in that one. And the more traditional Afrikaans white voting station, the VD in the town itself, the Northern Paarl, we took that ward suddenly with a two-thirds majority. We attained 67% of the vote, and the DA fell to 30%, something in the 30s. It was a complete reversal. So there's something absolutely happening, and that's why I'm fascinated. Tomorrow, for instance, there's another by-election, this time in Mogale City in Gauteng. And it's also almost a straight fight between the Democratic Alliance and the Freedom Front Plus, and I would like to see what's going to happen there. If there's the same kind of trend, then it's very clear that we see a complete shift in terms of electoral support within certain communities. And then you must look at all the different things that are happening. Action SA is coming up. The Patriotic Alliance is moving into some communities. The ANC is losing support. So there's a fascinating process playing out on our way to 2024, which is going to be very exciting. I'm working to get the ANC out of government and to form a new coalition government on national level, and it will be in some provinces as well.
R.W. Johnson says it's edge of the seat stuff, and listening to you, you certainly can't contradict that. But as far as the Freedom Front Plus is concerned, going back to 1994, you had your best election of 2.2%. But in fact, you of the national vote, of South African vote, now you've gone beyond that. In the most recent local elections, after going backwards for a fairly lengthy period of time, are you expecting that there's a, you know, in the investment world, we talk about the trend as your friend, that the trend is now becoming your friend, and indeed, where could it end?
Absolutely, I've got no doubt about that. What basically happened was in 1999, it's a long time ago, people may remember, at that stage, the leader of the Democratic Party was Tony Leon. And Tony came back then with a slogan which basically just said, fight back. And people were quite disillusioned in terms of what they saw by 1999. What they expected to happen in 94 did not materialize in terms of this wonderful rainbow paradise. And people wanted to hit back. They wanted to fight back. And they then went in mass to support the Democratic Party at that stage. Later on, they merged with the National Party to become the Democratic Alliance. And it took us basically 20 years to change that and reverse that trend. And now the trend is the opposite. And absolutely, this trend is going to be our friend, I've got no doubt. And we are realistic about that. It's not as if we are going to defeat the ANC, no. But it's not as if the Democratic Alliance is going to do so, or the IFP. What I foresee is that there will be a coalition of parties, like-minded political parties, that can do that. And then the wonderful thing is this, people can still vote for the party of their choice, but they know that that party will bring that vote into a combined coalition kind of thing. So I think this trend is our friend at the moment, and we will see. We are basically 18 months from the next election, and the party is invigorated. We are going absolutely forward at the speed of light, and people are absolutely openly coming to the fore and supporting the party, also from other communities.
Corné, when I had a look at what's been going on in the by-elections and then back to a year, only a year ago in the local elections, November 2021, the business-friendly, which is where we come from on Biz News Aside, political parties, yourselves, the DA, Action SA, ACDP, the IFP, Patriotic Alliance, could at this point in time probably bank 47% from our analysis. Where are you putting it? And how realistic is it that those business-friendly parties, i.e. not ANC and EFF, could become the coalition governing bloc after the 2024 election?
Absolutely. As I've said, I'm working on that day and night. That is my responsibility. I've got a different role that I also play as chairperson of the technical committee that deals with these coalitions. And my appeal is to the leaders of the parties that you've mentioned, the business-friendly parties. We cannot afford for the ANC to remain in power for a further 5 years after 2024. Then you can just imagine where this country will go. So there's a huge burden or expectation of the parties that you've mentioned. And it's difficult because at the moment we are having some challenges in the metros where we govern in coalition governments. And the problem is my appeal would be that those parties not only focus on the election in 2024, but that should also look at what needs to be done in terms of service delivery, because that is what the electorate expects of us on local level in those metros. But I've got no doubt the challenge is this, and let me just explain what I mean. I foresee in the run-up to the 2024 election something which I would call, we can still talk about the name. I want to see a new UDF. a new UDF in this time. Let's call it, for argument's sake, the Rainbow Coalition. That coalition should not be a political party. It should be a broad church movement for change, regime change in 2024 to turn this country around. Let's call it the Rainbow Coalition. It should exist and composed of academics, business community, trade unions, civil organizations, civil society, academics, people from the cloth, as well as certain political parties, those that you've mentioned. And it should be a broad thing that moves and sweeps across the country to say, in 2024, we get rid of the ANC and the EFF and get them out of power in this country. Everybody gets involved. If we can do that and we can harness the necessary enthusiasm for that, despite the polls that may indicate 47 at this stage, we will sweep and we will clean South Africa up. That is what we are working towards, and I think it's absolutely essential that we do that. And that would mean all hands on deck. Everybody gets involved. There's no alternative. There's no other opportunity. And if you then go to the polls in 2024, I foresee that that broad new church, UDF organization thing, will have its own, for example, its own logo. And then I hope to see that political parties will have their emblem, but on that poster will also be the emblem of the Rainbow Coalition, so that people can say, I can still vote for the Freedom Front Plus, I can still vote for the Democratic Alliance or Action SA or the IFP, knowing that they will go into a coalition after the election. The actual coalition, we will only form that evening when we have the final election results and we can see what the permutations are, but I'm positive that it can be done, but then we need everybody to be on board and to believe it's possible, and I do believe it's possible.
You guys have always stuck with South Africa. Your party members are here to stay. You've given that message. And from what you've said now, it's clear that you still have a fair degree of hope about the country. So what do you say? What do you say to the young Afrikaner boy who can't get a job, even though he's well qualified at university, and he's now saying, no, I'm going off to England?
No, I'm appealing to them to get involved, to become active also in this political journey for the next 18 months. If we can get rid of the ANC, we can turn this country around. And if I say get rid of them, I mean get them out of government. That's what we need to do. It can be done. If you say we've stuck with South Africa throughout and we've put our money there as a party and as a support base, I'm not going to allow anyone to push me out of Africa. And the point I want to make is this. Every family has got their own history. In my specific instance, my family came here in 1685. After more than 300 years, Africa has become part of who I am. It's nice to go abroad, walk around, enjoy, it's fantastic. Come back, get off the plane, take a deep breath. I'm home. I'm back in Africa. Africa is part of who we are now. And we want to make a difference in the best interest, not only of ourselves, but of all the people in South Africa. Quite clearly, the policies of the ANC failed throughout. I am not aware of a single thing in South Africa that the ANC touched that don't need a so-called turnaround strategy. They don't have the right policies. They don't know where they are going. And international best practices out there. We can turn this country around tomorrow if you've got the right people elected with the right policies. So I'm absolutely positive about this. I really think we are part of Africa, and Africa, anything is possible. We don't have to go down the road all the way. And then all those thousands of young people who have left South Africa, I can promise you they will come back tomorrow if we can turn this country around. And we can do that.
Let's make the country deserving of bringing back the talent and the skills that have left. Dr. Corne Mulder is the head of the Freedom Front Plus in the Western Cape. And I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.